This week's episode of the FitCast is brought to you by TurbulenceTraining.com, BlackStarLabs.com, and also by RobertsonTrainingSystems.com. Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the FitCast, FitCast episode number 50. My name is Kevin Larrabee, and with me I have a bunch of guests this week, but first off I want to mention our main guest, who is Jen Heath. You might know her, I mean she's had a ton of articles up on, or a couple articles lately up on TNation.com. She's a mother of four, a professional natural bodybuilder, an online coach, and an ACSM certified personal trainer. She also runs an online training and nutrition consulting business at her website, jenheath.com. So Jen, first off, I want to welcome you to the show and happy Mother's Day.
Thank you very much. And it is a very happy Mother's Day. I appreciate it.
That's great. And also we have Jimmy Smith with us.
What's up?
And we have everyone's favorite, Tony Gentilcore.
Oh, I'm everyone's favorite now? That's nice.
I was just trying to be nice to you, Tony.
Oh, yeah. Happy Mother's Day, Tony, by the way.
Thank you very much.
Well, first off, I just have to mention some quick FitCast-related stuff. I just want to start off by saying that if you haven't been checking out the FitCast.com lately, I've been blogging about my Train8 XL. I'm not going to talk about it on the show this week because we're going to dedicate it to Jen, so just check out the website, thefitcast.com. I've been blogging pretty much every day about it, and I just got to train with Tony on Saturday, which was fun, and he gave me some pointers, and it was a good time, more or less. Also, there's some... Sorry, that's how I had to sum it up. There's also some new FitCast Insider content. There's a new interview with Cassandra Forsythe on there all about achieving that bikini-ready body in 6 weeks, so make sure to check that out if you're an Insider member. It will be up on the FitCast Insider store later this week, and also in regards to the Insider store, I threw up the interview with Bill Hartman and Jimmy Smith there, so you can get those for individual downloads now. I've just been catching up on putting those up there, and that's pretty much all from me, so let's jump right into the Q&A with Jen. First off, Jen... This is a question from our audience, so I don't have a wife currently, but it might sound like that. I believe my wife understands the importance of weight training and cardio. However, I don't think she likes weights. She more or less feels that she has to do it. How can she like it so that she can progress rather than see it like a chore? Possibly many women fall into this category and don't really push themselves.
All right. as I thought about this, this is kind of what I wanted to say. A lot of the girls that come to me, a lot of the women that come to me, they might have felt uncomfortable about weight training a little bit, but after seeing me and other women who lift very seriously, they're actually already starting to kind of get comfortable with the idea. But in achieving that complete comfort in doing weights, I find that, like I said, they see, I mean, there's tons of examples. They look at women who are very serious about training, and then they kind of are wondering to themselves, well, how are they doing that and not getting enormous? Because they, for some reason, they say associate weights with getting big. Mm-hmm. They are seeing the visual connection that they make with weights, and seeing what that can do for physique is kind of a start. And another thing is I find that women are not, they're kind of at a standstill on whether they really want to start lifting weights and see it as, like you said, like a chore, because they don't fully understand that weight training is actually secondary in your physique goals. And they think they're just going to have to go to the gym and pick up heavy things and work really hard, and they don't see any purpose to it. But once I teach them that it's their nutrition, it's the way that they eat that's actually going to make that work for them, they actually feel like they have some control over what those weights are going to do to their body. Like, you know, just if you want the water to be hot, you actually have to reach out and turn the faucet over that way. And that's kind of like what you do when you realize that what you're eating, you're doing something to make a result. And so when they see that how they eat is what's going to shape the outcome of lifting weights, they start to become more excited about that. And it's the fastest way to get results. And when I teach them that, they kind of, they get really excited. And another thing is that a lot of women, when they start lifting weights, they kind of feel inadequate because they can't lift very much. And we're all goal-oriented people. And one thing I say, and maybe you've heard me say this in an article, or I say to all my clients, is if you can't do one pull-up, we're just going to work right now on getting you to be able to do one pull-up. And in a month or whatever, however long it takes, if you can do one bodyweight pull-up, then you're a real success. And then they don't feel like it's a chore because they're working towards something, you know. Another thing that I do, and it's all about educating my people, but I'll like ask someone, how many repetitions can you could you do like on a dumbbell bench press with 15 pounds? And they'll think about it and they might say like 15 or 20 repetitions. And so then I'll turn it around and say, well, how much weight do you think you would have to use in order to be done with that same set at 8 repetitions? And so then they're quiet. They're like, hmm. And then they start thinking about it, and they're obviously they're smart enough, and they know that the weight would be more. So they're like, oh, well, 20 or 22 or 25. Or, you know, it's like they never really thought of increasing the weight and performing less repetitions for a result. They're unaware of that. And just the thought of pressing a heavier weight kind of makes them smile, like they already feel stronger, and that can be very motivating for a person. So those are some of the things that I do with my clients to educate them and get them excited.
And I would agree with that, especially that last point, in the sense, like, when I start training with a female client, generally speaking, they don't give themselves enough credit, as Jen said. Like, they think they're these delicate, weak creatures who can't lift weights. So more often than not, like, they're used to training with, you know, 5-pound dumbbells, 8-pound dumbbells, 10-pound dumbbells, and I hand them the 20 and said, this is what you're going to do, and they do
it. Right.
You know, so and it's and I was like, see, you're stronger than you think you are. You know, so a lot of times, you know, I just go right to it. I was like, I just hand them the 20-pound dumbbells, and then they go right at it. So that's a great point.
Yeah, totally. And another thing is, no like huge pat on my back. Like I do what I do because I love to do it, and I look the way I look because this is just the result of like what I do. And there's a lot of other women that look really great and that can keep a good schedule, kind of like I try to do. But honestly, a couple people they'll go on my website and they'll contact me through my contact form and they'll say, I want to look like you. What do I need to do? I've never lifted weights. I don't even know if I want to. I don't even know if I could. What do I need to do? And that's very flattering, of course, and their bodies will turn into whatever they'll be able to make of it. But I just let them know that basically good nutrition and really, really smart weight training is what got me to where I am. And that right there is enough for them to be like, okay, what do I need to do?
On a side note, Jen, like, can you – I know you mentioned the nutrition component. Any, like – basic parameters, like really simple parameters you tend to give your female clients in the beginning, like, you know, okay, we're just going to focus on eating breakfast, you know, for a straight week. Cause a lot, you know, any simple like nutritional parameters you give your clients?
Right. There's the breakfast for sure. Yes. Several people there. I get two types of clients as far as nutrition goes, ones that really know what they're doing and have no idea what to do with their training. And then ones who really are just really foobar on nutrition. So, like I'll tell them eat breakfast. And I know it sounds like everyone is so different, right? But it sounds like a lot to dump on someone. But the thing is when girls come to me, guys or girls come to me, they've got me like as a total daily consultant if they need to. People email me sometimes daily, sometimes biweekly, but, I really dump a lot on people right at the beginning. I think it's kind of like handing them that big 20-pound weight or 25-pound weight when they didn't think they could lift more than 10. But I send them a bunch of information, a bunch of handouts, and I say, you need to count your calories. Like right now, you are unaware of what's going in, and you are totally messed up on what you're doing going out. You have no idea how to even... If I asked you where you think you'd be in 3 months, you would have no idea. You have no clue. So you have to start counting your calories. And the basic parameters that I give people is I find out what kind of activity level they need to be. And if they need to lose fat, fast right away, I'll start them off with at least a 500-calorie deficit. If they're severely overweight, I'll start them off at a 1,000-calorie deficit. I mean, if you can handle it and it's not going to affect your muscle mass, then do it. I teach people how many grams of protein that they eat, and it tends to fall. You know, this is very variable, of course, but at least 1.25 grams of protein per pound of body weight. Another thing that I do that people are totally unaware of, I mean, oh man, my eyes just like pop out of my head when I see someone email me and say, I'm eating 1,000 calories a day, 20 grams of fat, 90 grams of, you know, what, I'm like, 20 grams of fat? Are you out of your mind? You know, are you out of your mind? You need half your body weight in fat. You need to be eating more fat. You're going to start eating avocados. You're going to start eating nuts. You're going to start eating, I don't care if you have to put a tablespoon of olive oil in your shake, you're going to eat fat, because guess what, honey, you're not going to lose any fat if you don't eat fat, and that's just the way that it is. So I get them eating the appropriate amount of fat, lots of protein, and with appropriate caloric deficits, and definitely breakfast. Oh, and another thing is I encourage all of my clients to take branched-chain amino acids, creatine, if they're at all remotely concerned about strength or muscle maintenance. I have them on creatine, and you'd be shocked. I mean, no, you wouldn't. You know this. People don't drink enough water.
Oh, absolutely.
I get people, and I overkill. Like I say, I dump a lot on them. I'm like, you know what? You need to get a 32-ounce water bottle, and you're going to train yourself to know what it feels like to drink enough or more than enough water. You're going to drink 4 of those puppies a day. And they're like, a gallon of water a day? And I'm like, yeah, a gallon. That's not a lot. I drink a gallon and a half every day. Every day I drink a gallon and a half water. They're like, you do? I'm like, yeah, and before a contest, I drink 2 or 3 a day. You know, they're like, man, they have no idea, you know, that they need to be drinking that kind of water. So I set everybody on a high level of water right off the bat as well. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's funny because, like, you know, especially with the water thing, it's, you know, people think, oh, if they drink more water, they're going to retain more water, when it's actually the opposite. The fact that you're not drinking enough water is going to make you retain water. So,
exactly.
No, that's cool. Like, yeah, I was just curious on what little simple things you do, at least at the very beginning. Because, I mean, with me, everyone starts at the same plate. Like, I usually come across the same nutritional errors probably you do. Like, people aren't eating breakfast. They don't get enough protein. They don't get enough fat. So I just try to gradually chip away at what they need to work on. But sometimes, like you said, it's just like, okay, here's all the things you need to fix. You're going to start doing it right now.
And it's really tough. Like, I run a very unique, with me, it's very unique because they're not with me to train, right? Like, I'll send them YouTube videos. I'll send them videos of me doing the exercises. And so they, as far as their training, you know, what's very unique about what I offer is that people can, they can add, they feel like they have someone to ask. And so having the support factor and how much they can handle are not inversely related. Does that make sense? I mean, the more support they have, the more they can handle right off the bat, and the faster the results come along.
Yeah.
And I've got clients emailing me in a week or two going, oh my gosh, you know, if they're extremely obese, they've lost, like, in 2 weeks, they've lost, like, you know, 8, 10, 12 pounds. Some of it water, obviously. And if they're not, they're like, they'll call me in 2 weeks or email me in 2 weeks and say, you know, this is like someone that's lean. Oh my gosh, I'm so upset. I you guys are going to laugh. I mean, I always laugh. I'm like, man, what is wrong with me? I mean, not really. There's nothing wrong with my clients, but they'll email me in 2 weeks to say, I haven't lost any weight. I mean, my pants are fitting looser, but I haven't lost any weight. What's wrong? And I'm like, here's a picture perfect client. You haven't lost any muscle mass. In fact, if your pants are fitting looser and you're the same weight, that means that you've put muscle on and lost fat. You are, I couldn't be more proud. Like, if I had to put a list together of the clients I'm the most proud of, it would be you. And those are people sometimes that have never done anything before. They have no idea, but I give them all this information and just teach them and educate them day by day. And I make sure I let people know that this is a learning process. You have to understand what is happening, what does your body want, what can your body tolerate. I mean, how much training can you actually stand? Some people can't train every day, some people can, and some people could train every day if they would just eat more and it would make them leaner. Maybe you're one of those people. Who knows until you try? So they have me to consult with all the time, and everybody's questions are different, and everything takes such a different shape between different people. But after about 2 to 3 weeks, people will feel pretty comfortable with the direction of their knowledge and the new shape that their bodies are taking. So it is kind of exciting.
Very cool. We'll jump into the next question, which Jen, you kind of hit on, but I don't know if you want to add any more to it. How do you get your clients to feel comfortable about weight training and just overall debunking the whole bulking mindset that women seem to have?
Yeah, we did talk about how I get them comfortable with it, but there's another thing about the comfort level, and that is that some people really haven't lifted weights before, and no matter what you say, they're going to feel like you might educate them all up and get them all stoked and fired up, but then when they get around the weights, it really is a little nerve-wracking for them. And in that case, you really don't want to overwhelm someone. So, I mean, I'm not going to throw a fragile girl who has no muscle because she's been under-eating under an 80-pound barbell and do a bench press. You know what I mean? You just give them things that they can succeed on so that they can progress, because you got to feel like you're progressing in anything to want to keep doing it. So there's that part of it about feeling comfortable with weight training in general. But, like, the bulkiness, that answer is so simple. This is what I tell people. You cannot, it is physiologically impossible for you to get big from lifting weights if you're not eating for it. Most of the people that come to me need to lose fat and lose a little bit of weight. And in order to do that, you know you have to be at a caloric deficit. And if you're at a caloric deficit, you're not going to put on a ton of size. It just isn't going to happen. I mean, you might be able to put on a little bit of size with really awesome supplementation, but it's just not going to happen. I just promise that to them. There's no discussion. I just tell them, look, it isn't going to happen. Look at me. It isn't going to happen. You are not going to get big from weight training unless you eat 3,000 calories a day. You want to eat 3,000 calories a day? They're like, well, no. Well, some of them are like, yeah.
Well, I also find it's funny because, like, I'll be training, you know, a female. I'm sure you come across this quite a bit too, Jen, that, you know, they'll be training for 2 weeks and they think their legs got bigger. You know, I'm just like, you know, if it was that easy to put on muscle, it would be fantastic. But
should I be an IFBB pro by now?
It gets a little ridiculous sometimes. But right. I definitely come across that more with women than I do men. Men are all about. I mean, if they put on an inch on their thighs in a week, they're elated. But whether or not it was actually an inch or not remains to be seen. But you know, certainly with women, I come across that quite a bit as far as, you know, they just get very, hypersensitive that, you know, they're going to put on all this weight in 2 weeks, when it more often than not, it's the exact opposite. You know, they're getting leaner.
Right.
You know, it's not a, you know, you probably like me, where I don't focus on the scale weight anyway. So, you know, if the clothes are any better.
Yeah,
no,
especially with a woman. Well, especially with a woman, really, the thing is, it's just indoctrinated, and it's just society, and it's just a bunch of something makes me so mad. The whole scale thing, you know, I get my clients stopping weighing themselves every day. I'm like, you know, another thing that I do to get, all we really want as women is just to be a little bit smaller and a little bit more muscular looking, you know, if we need to lose weight or whatever. And me, sometimes I get in a little bit of a bulking mode because I might want to put some size on a particular body part or whatever. But just in general, we just want to look lean and athletic. And, like, let's take, for instance, I'm trying to come up with some imaginary specs in my head, just right off the top of my head. Say I've got a girl that's 5'6". And she only weighs 120, but she's like 25% body fat. I mean, how much muscle is there going to be on that girl? And she only weighs whatever she, 5'6", weighs 120 pounds or 100 whatever. So she's underweight a little bit, and she's like 25% body fat. That ultimately, when she achieves her ideal physique, she's going to weigh more than that. There's no way around that. And so when they come to me and they're like, I just want to lose weight, I just don't want to be fat anymore, if I get a client like that, I tell them, okay, you need to know right off the bat that I can help you achieve the physique of your dreams, but you're going to weigh more than you do right now. Are you okay with that? And they're like, well, why, what? They don't understand. And this is what I say to them. Okay, take your arm. Pretty flabby, right? And they're like, well, yeah, but are you happy with the size of it? Like, you don't want to be like anorexic or anything, do you? Right? And she's like, well, you know, some people say, like, well, no, I like the size of my arm. It's just flabby. Well, so what I tell them is, you know, if you lift fat, obviously, and this is basics, fat weighs less than muscle. So if you take all that fat off and replace it with muscle, but your arm is the same size as it is right now, but when you flex it, it's firm like knocking on a door, are you happy with that? Does that make you feel happy to think that you could do that for yourself? And they're like, well, yeah. And I'm like, okay, well, you are going to weigh more. If you do that, you're going to weigh more. And then they're like, oh, that's cool. So that's how I kind of get excited about that.
Yeah, that's great. I'm going to start using that.
Yeah.
So as far as, I know you've had 4 children, correct?
Right.
So yeah. Explain this, like, I always find it funny when I'm training I've trained a few pregnant women, and I've also trained other females as well. And how did you exercise while you were pregnant?
When I was pregnant?
Yeah, while you were pregnant, yes.
While I was pregnant, okay. First of all, let me give you a tiny little bit of science first. It's important to continue exercising during pregnancy granted it's going to change toward the end when you like are feeling like a beached whale and you have no balance and your ligaments are all coming apart because you've got so much relaxing in your body to prepare you for childbirth that you can't even like reach up to get a cup out of the cupboard without straining your shoulder. I mean, it's all going to change, but for the first 2 trimesters, it's really important that you keep your exercise roughly the same, because when your blood, the way your body metabolizes glucose, it is different when you're exercising. And so if you've started a training regimen and then you stop, the new level of glucose metabolism in your body is disturbed and it causes a higher level of glucose in the blood. And research shows that babies are more likely to be healthier. In other words, not overweight, not underweight, less chance of becoming a diabetic if we maintain our same activity as we had before we came pregnant, because then those levels of glucose don't become elevated, and those also are a risk factor in birth defects. So there's a little bit of science of why it's important to keep your same level of exercise, not for you, but for your baby. So there's that. So I continued on with my regular modes of training, weight training, particularly in the first trimester. Nothing needs to change unless there's complications or you're a high-risk pregnancy, you've had a history of a lot of miscarriages, something like that, then obviously you need to consult your physician and find out, because they are the ones that would be the best person to say what to and not to do. But granted that there's no complications, first trimester, just pretend you're not even pregnant. Just go for it, you know?
Yeah.
Second trimester, you start to show a little bit. You start to feel a little uncomfortable. Feel like you might lose your balance a little bit. So what I would do when I was pregnant is I would just simply modify my exercises. Obviously, you don't want to be doing, like, parallel barbell back squats when you're pregnant. You don't want to be doing front squats at all because you don't want to drop the bar on your belly. That would be really bad. So you just, like maybe 45 degrees on a squat. No more towards the end of the second trimester. I can't even remember what week it is. I'd have to look it up or try to remember, rack my brain. But nothing on your back. Change your dumbbell bench press or your bench press exercises to incline. Right. So that you're not laying on your back. I love lunging. Lunging is a passion of mine, and I love barbell alternating lunges. Love them. But when you're getting big and you're losing your balance, it just isn't going to happen. So I switch to stationary lunges. So one leg at a time, switch, do the other leg. I also love to run outdoors. I love to push my lawnmower. There are things I love to do outdoors that, on a hot summer day when you're pushing a lawnmower, that might be a little bit dangerous towards the end of a pregnancy because it could be very hot and you could push yourself into heat exhaustion quickly. So I modify those things by utilizing the machines. Other than pregnancy, I'm not a huge fan, or a time constraint where you just want to get on and do intervals really quick for 10 minutes. I'm not a huge fan of the machines. I like different sorts of HIIT. Into cardio, but machines are great when you're pregnant because you can stabilize yourself. Elliptical trainers are a lot safer than running outdoors when you're pregnant. So that was kind of what I did my last trimester, and the intensity has to come down in the last trimester. It's tough for me personally because I love interval training. You know, it's really tough for me. But really, at the end, it's just a lot of steady state cardio is really good for a pregnant lady. So I suggest those things. Yeah.
And what about when you, like, when you had your children and you went back to the gym? How long between giving birth and going back to the gym was it for you?
Okay. It varies. With my first daughter, with my first child, it was like 4 weeks, and I was okay to go do cardio again. And they say you need a minimum of 6 weeks, but I was so flipping in shape. That was 6 years ago, and I had just gotten done doing a Body for Life type thing. I didn't actually do like the actual contest, but that's when I really started teaching myself how to control portions and get very in tune with monitoring things. And so I was like so in shape when I had my daughter, and it was very easy to get back very fast. With my twins, that pregnancy was complicated. They were born 2 months early out of state. I did nothing but pump breast milk and drive back and forth out of state to a hospital and try to maintain two households, two kids in Idaho, two kids in Utah. There was so much stress. I'm trying to, like, explain this to you all, to you guys and to these listeners to, like, illustrate that, like, with my daughter, it was 4 weeks because there was no stress. My body had no stress. I only had one kid. She was really easy. There was no complications. There was no extraneous circumstances with my twins. I already had two kids. I signed on my house while we were in labor because my water broke at 4 a.m. that morning, and I had to drive to a hospital out of state, and I almost damn near had premature babies on the highway, you know. So there was some enormous stress involved. And the point that I would like to make before I go off too long, because I have a tendency to go on and on.
No, this is good stuff.
That's great.
Except for scaring me the crap about having kids. This is great stuff.
good birth control, folks. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. You know, it was just very difficult. There was a lot of extraneous factors. I mean, I weighed 195 pounds when I had the twins, and my body was so stretched out from being, I was like double the size of a 9-month, double the size that I was when I first got pregnant with my first kid at 7 months with my twins. And I was, you know, so my body had a lot of different changes. Like I said, when you're supposed to sign at a house at 8 a.m. and your water breaks at 4 and you have to drive 3 hours and then stay in a hospital for 5 days, sign papers while you're in labor, and they're trying to jack a needle into your back to give you an epidural that isn't working and you're pissed. I mean, in other words, I had so much stress. And when you get home to two kids and you have to sit in front of this is just like a TMI, but I mean, it is what it is. I sat in front of a breast pump for 2 hours, every 2 hours, not for 2 hours, every 2 hours, every 2 hours I sat in front of a breast pump so that I could have food for my babies and drive it to them out of state. And I never slept. I said the reason why I couldn't get back for like 3 to 4 months after my twins were born was because I never slept. My one came home, and then my other one came home 2 weeks later, and it takes an hour and a half to feed a 4-pound baby that can hardly suck a bottle nipple. I mean, I was up feeding those kids every night, sitting on a chair, looking out into the moonlight, crying. And I put that in my article because it's true. I don't know if I did put that in my article, but, you know, I would just sit there with tears rolling down my face because I was so exhausted. Who can train when they're not sleeping? If you can, call me because I want to know what your secret is. Honestly, so it took me about four months to go back. I tried at 2.5 months after I had them, and it didn't work. So my advice on getting back into exercising and you got to be eating right anyway, is just to take your time. Having a baby is an exciting time, and there's no other time that they're going to be little like that. And so take your time and ease back into it. Going too hard, too fast makes it easy to give up and procrastinate when it will be permanent. Because there's always that point that when you get back, it's when it sticks. That's like the day that you go back, that you keep going back day after day after day. But if you rush that day that you're finished, that you're actually on a path, it can be like 3 months past where you originally could have done it if you rush it. So I would say take your time. For sure. I was going to tell you a little bit about, I kind of touched on that hormonal stuff about, taking your time, okay? Another thing on taking your time, and I mentioned this before, is that your body releases relaxin when you're pregnant to prepare yourself for accommodating the growth of a baby and delivering that baby. And so, you know, like I say, just take your time. Just take it easy. Enjoy your baby.
Jen, I actually have a question for you. Now that it's getting towards Memorial Day in the States, and you know, all the women out there want to look good in a bikini, they want to look good in a tank top. They're starting to go to the beach. It's getting warm out. What are you doing with your clients now that you really, really want to dial them in? Like, what kind of methods are you using? Are you using any specializations phases? Like, how are you taking it now with the clients that have trained hard with you for the past couple of months, but now it's getting close to, you know, show time? So, like, their individual, you know, the average Joe's stage time when they're going out, they're going to hit the beach for Memorial Day. What are you doing?
Reducing their calories if necessary. You know, I'm not a big fan of like low calories day after day after day after day. I cycle my clients. And so, where their body, none of my clients are in starvation mode ever. Even my competition clients are not in starvation mode. Maybe the last 2 weeks before a contest or something like that. But, I can increase the frequency of their deficits, because they'll still have a couple of high calorie or a couple of high carb days during the week. And if that's what they want, then that's what they have to do. And sometimes, believe it or not, it actually means training a little less, because no body that is overtrained will burn fat. And a lot of my clients work really hard in the gym. And so, like, for instance, like, somebody might come to me and say, all right, I'm going on a trip in 6 weeks. I really, really want to look good. And they might have been like adherence level 75%. So I'll tell them, all right, it's time to be 90% or better. It's time to be 100% if you can. So these are the numbers. Get out your piece of paper, write it down every day, stick to it, and I promise you that it will work. And I'll like I said, I'll do things like, you know, if they've been working really hard, I'll say, let's prep for it. I'll prep people for it. Let's take like 3, 4, 5, 6, up to 7 days on maintenance calories and take it a little easier, and then let's hit it really hard. People get really excited to hit it hard if they've got the energy to start hitting it hard, you know? So that's what I do before a contest, and so you can take that same principle and apply it to just everyday people who just really, like you said, want to look good naked or on a beach, and hopefully you're not going on a beach naked unless you're in France.
That's something we should really try to get going on in America. I mean, I know the state of things, it's not that great because we have somewhat of an obesity epidemic. But
shoot, I don't want a beach full of fat. No, I'm just kidding. I'm totally joking.
Jen, to kind of piggyback on that a little bit, what have you been doing training-wise, like with a client? So a client comes to you, she's 6 weeks out from Memorial Day when she has to hit the beach, and she's like, look, you know, I want this, and she points to her hamstring, and she points to her glutes, and she points to, like, her vastus lateralis, the outside of her quad. What are you doing there to bring up certain areas some women probably want?
Okay, the first thing I do, like I said before, and yeah, I'll piggyback on that, is I let them know that it isn't going to happen unless they eat the way I tell them to. So that's number one. And then number two, people do. They want to do specific exercises. But I'm going to tell a girl that if she comes to me and says, I really want my butt to look really good when I get in my bikini, I'm not going to send her a little isolateral butt raise machine. I'm going to tell her, if you want a nice ass, you better be squatting.
You know, I don't. For president.
Johnny for president. And my campaign is, if you want a nice ass, do squats. Actually, yeah, I mean, definitely, like, I'll give them the most effective exercises for those body parts. I mean, if they've got bad knees, then we gotta do maybe stationary lunges. But an exercise that will work that part, that will actually bring that part up in an effective way. I mean, nobody got a nice butt from doing the little rear leg lifts or something like that.
Yep.
People have told me that, you know, I got a nice butt. I don't know if I have a nice butt, but I sure do a lot of squats, and I sure do a lot of deadlifts, and I sure do a lot of glute ham raises. Another favorite exercise of mine to bring up the legs that is totally underutilized is single leg deadlifts.
Mm-hmm.
Single leg deadlifts are wonderful, and if you can just get some balls, you get a lifting strap and do them with a lot of weight. Like, I was doing them with the 70-pound dumbbell the other day. I mean, I could only do like 4, and I had to hold on to something, but that's what it's all about right there. And not only that, there's two variations that I like to sick people on, which is the stiff leg ones, of course, which is just the kind of a mimic of the stiff leg deadlift with the two legs, but I like to do a bent leg, single leg deadlift, which really, and you keep your weight in your heel, really targets that glute ham tie-in on the way up. And so there are some exercises definitely that I will give ladies to bring up those areas, yeah.
So it stands to reason that your females do squat.
What was that?
Your female clients do squat. I'm assuming this they do
squat.
Oh
my gosh. All of my clients.
So all my female clients who are listening who say like here's my opinion on the matter. Like I definitely think squatting is right up there with one of the best exercises that everyone should be doing. But how do you feel as far as females and squatting like with certain body types? Cuz I mean there are certain females who have always had big thighs, you know, in that regard. So sometimes I kind of lean away from the squats and I'm like, I'll focus more on rack pulls, pull-throughs, natural glute ham raises and stuff like that. But what's your opinion on as far as for women who do, you know, tend to have bigger thighs and would you still squat them?
Well, if they're eating a lot of food, no, because then they're going to get even bigger. But maybe if they love it, and they could stick with high reps or something like that so that they're not, or really, really low reps, which don't tend to build a lot of muscle fiber, you know, as opposed to mid-range reps. So you can alter the rep schemes to allow someone to still be squatting, because aside from the size of your legs, squatting is a core movement that burns tons of calories. So if you're burning lots of calories, you're going to burn fat, and oftentimes ladies that have bigger thighs, some of it's fat. So, like, if you're doing compound movements like that to burn lots of calories, you can alter the rep scheme so that they can still perform that movement and get the caloric benefit of that movement.
Yes.
Another group of girls that tend to have a problem with squatting are the ones that have really long torsos and really long femur bones, because they're balanced. They just can't, you know, they get down there to parallel and their backs just want to go over, you know? So I'll, if they, you know, I tell them, sure, you know, if you can go down 70 degrees or, you know, just instead of 90, or you can go down 60 degrees, I'll still have them do it. Yeah, pretty much. I like people to be squatting.
I was just curious, because, I mean, it's only a handful of girls that I kind of am leery with at times with it. But, I mean, like you said, I mean, I tell them the whole spiel that, you know, you're going to be burning a ton of calories. It's not, you're not just working your legs here. You're working a lot of muscle mass here.
Right. Well, and another thing is if they're worried about having enormous quads, you can vary their stance. I mean, if you do more of a wide grip toes out stance, it's more hamstrings and glutes than it is quadriceps if you point your toes forward and keep your stance narrow. So there's different things. And like I said, varying the rep scheme is everything. People think that the lower the reps and the more muscle you're going to build, when really that's just a strength gaining technique. Well, that's just very basic. But you know, they've got to be doing like 4 or 5 sets of 12 reps in a row that are excruciating reps in order to cause enough damage to even grow the muscle. So most of the time, unless they're specifically trying to grow the muscle, squatting isn't necessarily going to make your legs enormous.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
How long do you how often do you vary the rep schemes with your clients?
Everybody is different. Some girls that are very, very new to weight training, they just, like I was saying earlier about putting somebody underneath a bench press when they've really never weight trained before.
Yep.
I find that altering the rep scheme too often and giving someone too much to do within 1 week period, too much to think about, is just setting them up to be frustrated. So that type of client, I will tell them 1 week I want you doing 8 to 12, 1 week I want you doing, you know, 6 to 8, and then maybe just for a breather, or maybe a little bit of lactic acid going in the system, we'll do some sets of 20. I don't do that very often. I high reps are just not my thing for the most part, but somebody who, I've got a couple of competition clients, and they are very, very well versed at weight training. They're very in tune with you know, the whole high rep, low rep, mid rep thing. They're really good at nutritional stuff, and so I can periodize them, and I can, you know, say, well, Monday I want you to do low reps. Wednesday I want you to do rest pause sets, and Friday before you go out and have a refeed, I want you to do a shred 'em up tension workout. And any of my clients who are listening to this right now are going to be like, I did it! Tension workout! It sucks! That sucks! You know? But, so I can vary it from workout to workout, or keep it for a longer period of time, like doing the same thing, like maybe an upper, lower, and a full body all at the same rep range for the week, or maybe even two, and then switch it. And oftentimes their nutrition will change with that too. They're burning more calories, doing more reps, more movements, then they can eat a little bit more. And if they take some time off of cardio and do some low rep workouts to kind of maintain and build their strength, then maybe they lower their calories a little bit. So everyone's so different, but that kind of gives you a general idea, I think.
Do either of you guys have any more questions for Jen?
No, I don't.
I could
for a couple more hours, but I know we have to limit our time here.
Actually, before we go any further, let me just quickly mention our sponsors. First off, Craig Ballantyne and TurbulenceTraining.com boost muscle growth and blowtorch body fat. At TurbulenceTraining.com, I have a special interview that I'm doing with Craig that will be coming up right at the beginning of June. Keep a lookout for that. Also, Black Star Labs, check them out at blackstarlabs.com. They have great supplements there. And again, robertsontrainingsystems.com, Mike Robertson, our new sponsor. High octane corrective exercise and performance enhancement at robertsontrainingsystems.com. It's a little bit harder than boost muscle growth and blowtorch body fat.
Yeah, that's a tongue tie right
there. Yeah, that is. Say that five times fast.
I think Robertson did it just to mess with me, but that's cool.
Hey, Jen, will you do me a favor?
What's that?
Will you say, I have a client of mine who's a big fan of yours. Her name's Amy. Can you just say hi to her for me?
Hi, Amy.
She's going to kill me, but it's going to be...
Hi, Amy. If you send me an email, I'll write you back. Email me. there's one thing I forgot to touch on. Do you mind if I just say one more thing?
The sure. Floor is yours.
One of the things along with pregnancy is, we talked about me getting back into exercising after I got pregnant, and something that kind of goes along with that, the main thing is, losing all that baby fat. This is something that I really like to emphasize, and that is that fat loss for after you're pregnant starts while you're pregnant, because most people do not consider that the fact that eating for two is totally overrated, totally overrated. Or in my case, eating for three at some point, at one point anyway. Heaven forbid I have twins out there that I don't know about, but at some point. But, the bottom line is for women in particular, during puberty and pregnancy are like the two extremely most susceptible times for a woman to proliferate her fat cells and gain a lot of fat. And so studies have shown that a healthy pregnancy really only needs 300 extra calories per day to maintain a healthy pregnancy. And I just want to put that into perspective. That is 1, 2, 3 tablespoons of peanut butter. 3 tablespoons of peanut butter, or 2.5 tablespoons of olive oil, or 1 large cup of juice. But yet, we as women, when we get pregnant, we're like, oh, we're eating for two.
Like a bucket of KFC.
I can go out to dinner every night. I can get whatever I want. I can laden my salad with, like, this fat dressing, and I can do whatever I want while I'm pregnant. And then they complain, and I feel it. I know. Trust me, I've been there, But the bottom line is guess what, folks? You can get pregnant and sustain your entire pregnancy by eating 3 tablespoons of peanut butter extra a day and do nothing different. So you can diet or have a good nutrition plan while you're pregnant and just eat a few tablespoons of peanut butter, or just find something that's 300 extra, like an enormous bowl of cottage cheese with some fruit on it. That's 300 calories. Eat that every day. In addition to what you were doing before, and then you will not turn your body into a fat storing machine. When you have that baby, you don't have anything extra that's been stored. You've just maintained yourself, built the baby, babied out, and now you can just move on. So I just like to point that out.
That's awesome advice.
Yeah, it makes it a lot easier than having to just work it all off or as much as you'd have to if you just overate so much.
Right. So that's just on pregnancy, where I kind of tend to have some experience. Okay, I admit it. I have some experience on pregnancy. That would be my advice. All right.
Well, Jen, I just want to thank you so much for coming on. Before we do go, can you just tell everyone out there how to get a hold of you?
How to get a hold of me? My phone number, and I'm just kidding.
Yeah, sorry. I probably worded that the wrong way.
Did you hear about that guy that that? Like, put his phone number on YouTube?
No.
Oh, man. He started getting phone calls, hundreds of phone calls, people telling him all about their lives and, like, women calling and crying. Oh, my gosh. I mean, like, they don't even know this guy, and I think people really just want somebody to talk to. So if you're like that, don't call me. Well, don't call me. You're not going to give me my phone number. But you can just contact me through my website. It's just Jen Heath. It's JenHeath.com. There's all my pages are in there that you can look at, and I've got contact forms on several of the pages, and yeah, that's how you can get me.
Very good. Well, again, Jen, thanks for coming on. Everyone out there, thanks for listening. Don't forget to check out thefitcast.com for all the show notes and pretty much the outline of what we talked about in today's show. Don't forget to check out thefitcast.com. And just a quick update, I'm going to ask Tony Gentilcore. Tony, how was my posture this week when you saw it? Was it all right? I think we lost Tony. But
oh, wait, no, I'm back. It went out for a little bit, but I'm back.
Oh, we just wanted an update on how my posture is.
It's still pretty crappy, dude.
Yeah.
Well,
sounds like you need to come train with me.
Well, I'm doing my best. I mean, Tony, you could have just given me some more pointers on Saturday.
I know. Tony last week was at a seminar talking so bad about Kevin's posture. Like,
I was not.
It
come
was
on.
Hideous.
Come on. Let's... No, I wasn't.
It was like high school hijinks. It was horrible. But we're going to get out of here. I'm going to go work on my posture. Tony is going to go make fun of me
some
more.
I'm going to go explain to my girlfriend's parents why I haven't been in their living room for the past hour.
I'm going to go eat an enormous king crab dinner that's been made for me.
Nice.
We just got done eating a bunch of crabs. Well, they did, but yeah.
I'm going to go put my phone number on YouTube.
Okay.
Oh, man. You're asking for it.
I know.
All right. We're going to get out of here. Thanks again for downloading. Don't forget, like I said, check us out on thefitcast.com. Check us out on iTunes. We'll see you next week. Take care.